Welcome to another episode of the Auburn Football Podcast, our first episode of 2013. I'm sports producer Matt Scalisi, and I'm coming to you from here in Orlando, Florida, where I am down here covering the Under Armour All-America game with a couple of, more than a couple of Auburn commits here and a few targets as well. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show, but joining me first up here, our good friend and regular guest here on the podcast, Blake Ells. You know him from Eyes on Auburn, the radio show here in Birmingham. You know him from collegeandmagnolia.com. Blake, happy 2013, pal.
Happy 2013, pal. I hope things are sunny and warm down there in Orlando. And I'm going to have to say, now, before we get into your coverage, which you've done a phenomenal job of
Thank you, sir.
Under Armour thing, by the way, and that's not blowing smoke either. If you're listening to this podcast, you probably already follow Matt on Twitter, but if you don't, for some reason, you should follow at Matt Scalisi. But you're probably gonna know a lot more about those guys than me, so we may have to flip the tables and let me ask you how
Brown things right. are looking. We might do that. Well, one of the things I want to get to first, obviously some Auburn news that has happened since we last podcasted here, Blake. The staff continues to fill out and under Gus Malzahn, with the latest hire coming from really from the ranks of the NFL, a guy named Rich Bisaccia, and I hope I'm saying that correctly. I think my Italian is proper there. But he's a guy.
You've got a better shot at getting that right than me, so I'm gonna let you go with it.
He's a guy that's been with the San Diego Chargers most recently, but he's certainly got a lot of experience, and he's coming in probably playing a fairly big role actually on this Auburn staff. He's going to be the special teams coach, and he's actually also going to be the running backs coach at Auburn, and will have that assistant head coach title, and those things usually have to do with experience and guys who've sort of earned the right for those positions. But certainly it looks like Gus is going to trust this guy with multiple responsibilities and yet another quality hire onto this staff, which really, if you look at the guys that have been assembled, there's an awful lot of SEC experience, an awful lot of just coaching experience in general on this staff. And you know, we talked about Rhett Lashley sort of right when that happened as a young guy, and there maybe was, you know, some amount of concern about the amount of time that he's been a coach. But I think if you look at this staff right now, Blake, there's no way anybody could look at this staff and say there's a lack of experience here.
Yeah, it's been very, very impressive to watch this. It's a cautious optimism for me, because when Gene Chizik came in, he put together an amazing staff as well. And we were all really, really fired up about what Coach Chizik was able to do when he assembled his staff. And it proved to be worthy praise, at least after 2 years. But then in a lot of ways, that same staff may have been his undoing, much like Tommy Tuberville's loyalty to his staff may have been his undoing. So I hesitate to get too fired up about staff hires, but I know that's going to be the natural thing for the Auburn fan base to do. And I know that when you talk to our friend Bloggle, he's going to be really fired up about it. Maybe he proves me wrong. I don't know, but I think I know Bloggle pretty well. it's very exciting to see. You had the hire of Rhett Lashley, and I think that the hiring of Rhett Lashley was very obviously an understudy to Gus, someone that knows everything that Gus is going to do, someone that knows everything Gus wants to do, a right-hand man, if you will, someone that Gus feels comfortable saying, okay, you know everything that I know, I can trust this to you. So it's almost strategic the way he's put certain people in certain positions. He, on the defensive side of the ball, that's not Gus's forte, so he's gone out and hired the best available people that he can everywhere over there. I still think that there's at least Auburn people, message boards, those types of areas want to believe there is a glimmer of hope that Tracy Rocker may still come. It looks like the Titan staff's going to be retained, so I don't know that that's going to happen now. I think that was the likelihood, the way that that would happen. But in any case, it is nice to get a guy with that NFL clout to throw around as they did today in Coach B, as I'm going to call him until I get comfortable enough until I get comfortable enough with that name. It's been a lot of fun to watch, and he hasn't messed up. Let's see how these guys are on the recruiting trail. It's going to be exciting to watch.
Well, speaking of that, I can tell you from spending a few days down here at the Under Armour game, there's definitely been an impact. And I have to say, it's probably come quicker than I expected that it would. I wasn't really ready to write off the 2013 class for Gus Malzahn, but it certainly looked like it was going to be difficult for him to put his whole staff together and build relationships with some of these bigger name guys in the 2013 class to bring them in. Now, I mean, obviously, it remains to be seen what that class is going to look like on signing day. But I can tell you this: they're finding a way to get involved with recruits that really haven't even talked about Auburn up to this point. They weren't talking about Auburn when Gene Chizik and his excellent staff of recruiters were around, even before the season. And a couple of guys that spring to mind down here that have mentioned Auburn and kind of to my surprise, Tony Connor, who a lot of people think is the best safety prospect in America, had his sort of three finalists ready to go. It was Alabama, Mississippi State, and Ole Miss. And then he says, you know, this week that basically Auburn is now considered one of his four finalists. So they've gotten involved, and I think a lot of that has to do with Melvin Smith coming over from Mississippi State. But again, that's an important connection that Malzahn was able to make that got him involved with a kid late in the process. And actually, we've also got Wes Seiner, one of our high school producers, is over at the other big All-Star game in San Antonio, the Army All-American game. Four-star running back Derrick Green, he's got Auburn on his list now. That's not a guy that you had heard mentioned alongside Auburn for really quite a few months now. So I think kind of what sticks out to me about what we're seeing on the recruiting trail so far is these guys are making an impression quickly. And you know, recruiting is usually a long haul game, but when you've only got about a month to go to try to, you know, put something together. You've got 12 guys still committed to the class. You've got to make something happen. Malzahn and his staff seem to be moving rather quickly.
Yeah, I mean, they'll fill the class out. It'll be interesting to see what that how that happens. There will be somewhere between 20 and 25 guys that sign in this class, I'm sure, because somebody's going to want to come play. Now, if these guys are able to talk some of these four stars that haven't been on the radar into suddenly just coming to Auburn, then obviously that speaks volumes. And it's really nice to hear guys like you that have spoken to these kids that that seems like it may be the case. We're a couple of months away, but that's part of the it's part of the beauty of hiring some of these veteran, well-known assistants that Coach Malzahn has surrounded himself with, is these guys already have relationships with these kids. I know you talked about the safety having the relationship with the new
With Melvin Smith, yeah.
with Melvin Smith, and I know that Coach Cheese has a great relationship with a ton of kids too. I mean, I've heard a lot of people talk highly, or at least you've been reporting that of kids talking highly about him too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you look at a staff like what Clemson had, and Clemson's been recruiting as well as anybody in the last year, they shocked everybody when they sort of briefly had a commitment from Robert Kimdichie. And you know, I think Malzahn can look at a school like that. He can say, look, they're a school that knows kind of a little bit about what I'm about because of Chad Morris being the offensive coordinator there. And you really could have gone and gotten a number of different assistants from that school, and Harbison being the recruiting coordinator was a pretty good choice. And yeah, like you said, he brings with him some pre-existing relationships, and I think that's really what has made the difference. That's what's been the difference between Auburn coming in and trying to do the best they can with this class, and Auburn coming in and really suddenly being a contender for quite a few of the remaining uncommitted, star recruits. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I wouldn't be shocked to hear more guys mention Auburn in the next couple of weeks, really, that we haven't even heard from yet. So we'll have to wait and see how it goes.
Yeah, we make fun of these kids committing to a coach instead of a school, but I mean, that's kind of the way it is nowadays.
I've never had a problem with that. I mean, look, the way I look at it, that's going to be your boss in some ways for the next 4 years. I would certainly care who
Yeah.
my boss was before I took a job.
I mean, it wasn't that way even 20 years ago. It certainly wasn't that way 50 years ago, but you know, most of these kids want to go play college football to get to the NFL. And, you know, they want to play for a guy that they feel comfortable can get them to the NFL. Now, you can complain about was Trooper Taylor a guy that could get people to the NFL all you want to complain about? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know that I would think so in hindsight, but hindsight's 50-50, as Coach Dye once said.
Great quote, yeah.
But you know, they want to get to the NFL. Every position across the board, every kid that commits to play college football wants to do it at the next level. And you know, I'm fine with those relationships, even though I guess it was Reuben Foster was given so much grief for quote unquote committing to Coach Taylor. But yeah, you know, if I'm going to go somewhere, like you just said, for the next 4 years, and you know, however you want to joke about kids getting paid or whatever, they are getting paid with that scholarship, and it is sort of their boss,
Sure.
as the case may be. So, you know, I'm fine with it. And while that may have cost Auburn a recruit or two in the coaching transition, I think the people that have been more patient about it may be rewarded with picking up a recruit or two from for the exact same reason. So, we'll see.
Blake, I want to go on a little bit off the rails here, but only a little bit because we've discussed on this podcast several times before, that even though this is a podcast about Auburn football, it's impossible to live in this state and be an Auburn fan and pretend like you don't know that the other school exists. And we've acknowledged the existence of that other school before on this podcast, and I want to do it again now, in part because I consider you a little bit of sort of like an ambassador to the Bammers, if you will.
I try.
You are sort of you can you I think you have sort of diplomatic immunity in Tuscaloosa,
I have more, well, I certainly have a lot more than Bloggle.
Yes, you do, for sure.
I have more than all but maybe one or two of my College of Magnolia colleagues. Yes, I try to approach this thing in a very diplomatic way, and you know, sometimes it's not seen as such, but I do my best to stay closer to the middle of this rivalry than veering too far in the barn direction, if you will.
Well, I'm gonna ask Bloggle about it later in the podcast too. But one of the things that I'm interested in your opinion on, because you're a guy that pays a lot of attention to the media. You have a lot of friends in the media, but you're also a fan, and you acknowledge that, and you keep an eye on this kind of stuff. I think I've seen you on Twitter mention it a few times, but I want you to tell me a little bit about what you think is the difference between the way this year's national championship game is being treated, by whether you want to talk about the in-state media or the national media or whatever. Do you think there has been a difference in how it's being covered as opposed to the 2010 national championship? And if so, I'd like to hear your opinion on that.
Oh, wow, that was a dangerous question to ask me, Matt.
And you don't have to go into specifics.
Yeah, I don't know if I need to name names. I know that there is one I know there's one television and radio personality that is a very, very good friend of mine whom I worked with for years. That should be pretty clear to anybody who knows me or follows me. That person in the media covered every one of these four national championships the exact same way. That person traveled to all of those places. And while that person kind of views their role in the media kind of the way I do, and that's with being honest about who you root for at the end of the day, there's a difference between the fan I am when I sit on my couch on Saturday and the way that I present myself behind a microphone. And that's somewhere I learned it from. So yeah, I think I'd pretty clearly tell you who that person is just by the description, but that person covered it exactly fairly. Now, there is a radio station in town that refused to send their entire crew 1 year out of the last 4 years. And that year just happened to be the Phoenix year. So, I don't know, Matt. It's interesting to watch. I've heard the excuses and the reasoning for why things are covered the way they're covered. I understand I do largely understand that last year was a situation when the game was within driving distance. New Orleans was a hike, but it's very doable. But you know, I was there a difference between 2009 and 2010 in basically any way? I mean, cost, travel accommodations, anything? No. But I understand that that has a lot to do with it too, because you're also talking about an industry where everybody's been hit very hard, and those kind of expenses are hard to deal with. But it is taxing, and it does become frustrating to watch it just kind of compound on top of itself and continue when 2010 was ignored by a lot of Birmingham media people. It's frustrating. But you know, in 2009, there wasn't really a precedent. In 2010, a precedent had been set. We're all going to go out and we're all going to give this full-blown wall-to-wall local media attention, and it wasn't given. In 2011, it was full-blown wall-to-wall local Birmingham media attention. So am I still the same kind of upset about it as I was a year ago? I'm not, because it's that wall's been torn down. It's the people who are in this to do it right and fair have shown their colors, and the people who aren't going to do it fairly have shown theirs. And there's no reason to call names or point anybody out, but it's taken care of itself if you've paid any attention. So, but you know, as I said, there's one guy that I think I have a lot of respect for that has done it exactly the same way for 4 years. And you know, I think your side is it's evolved over the last 3 years. Birmingham News has basically done it all the same way too, but
I don't think we realize to get a little self-evaluative. I mean, I haven't been around for I've been here for almost exactly 1 year, and I can tell you we obviously do things differently now than we did even a year ago when I started. So there, you know, it's weird because this string of four championships, you bring up a couple of interesting points. For one, they kind of straddled an economic recession, so things started to change. Money-wise, right around then, they also are sort of falling in a period of time where the media in Birmingham, as well as everywhere else, but particularly Birmingham, is going through some pretty significant changes.
Yeah, and a big bulk of those changes were in that 2000, late 2009 to two, early 2011 period that Auburn happened to be in the center of. So I get that.
Yeah, it's interesting. One day we'll have to write the book on it, Blake.
I'm fine with sitting down and writing that out for you. It's I also think there's a little bit of disappointment from an Auburn fan perspective, that Auburn got the worst trip out of the three.
I've never been to a Fiesta Bowl.
Or four, excuse me. But yeah, the Phoenix trips was not fun. I mean, it was fun going to the stadium. It was fun going to the game. The stadium, the University of Phoenix Stadium, is basically on an island by itself. And there is basically, let's call it an area. I don't know what's fair to say here. Maybe half the size of the Summit that is probably 100 yards away from the stadium. And there's like a mall over, I mean, excuse me, like a hotel over there and some bars and restaurants and things like that. Otherwise, you're cabbing it. $20, $30 cab rides everywhere you want to go in that city. Every time you want to go somewhere, it's an expensive cab ride.
Well,
The trip part of it just was not that fun.
and
And Alabama.
I'll tell you this, Blake, Pasadena, the Rose Bowl is kind of a nightmare to get in and out of. It's not a great actual game day experience, but I think what overcomes that is kind of the special experience of going into that building in the stadium. And
The
I do,
pageantry of it all.
right. And I agree with you that I think of the four. Of the four sites, the Phoenix game has never really had the same kind of panache as the other games. I do think that's sort of a minor detail because I promise you, if Alabama had been playing in Phoenix, the fans would not. I don't think you would have heard a lot of complaining about it, and then obviously Auburn fans
No.
didn't complain about it either, but.
No, well, I mean, the only complaint I ever heard from Auburn fans was that one of the major parties that they had that year, like, completely ran out of alcohol. And,
That's a big problem.
yeah, I know, right? But no, Alabama easily got the best trip out of the four last year. I don't know, from all the wonderful photos that all the fine folks down in Miami are sending, it looks like Miami's a pretty fun trip. So I'm sure Bama fans will have fun when they head down this weekend.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm finishing up here at the Under Armour game actually as we speak and. Supposed to be joining my comrades in Miami. I'm kind of looking forward to it just based on the hotel photos that my pal Izzy Gould has been tweeting. So we'll have to see. I'm
Now,
fully ready
are
to
you
get
staying
along.
at the fancy hotel with the players?
No. We are not staying at the
Okay,
fancy
that is not where the media schlubs get to stay,
hotel.
right?
No, the media hotel is
Oh,
supposedly nice, so we'll see. I'll be Facebooking my photos if anyone's interested or Instagramming them.
well, I don't even know if I follow you on the old Instagram. I might have to hit that up, but I'm gonna follow along on Facebook and see what's happening in the Scalise world, and I'll be watching at some local watering hole here in the Magic City, I suppose.
All right, well, Blake, thanks for joining me, man. We'll be back to do this again next week, and we'll probably have a little bit more of a focus on the continued staff hirings for Gus Malzahn. We'll talk a little bit about recruiting as we go down the stretch here, and also just as we start to get closer to the NFL draft and really even to spring practice, we're going to start getting into some 2013 preview type stuff here on the podcast.
Oh man.
So we'll get we'll be changing things up here in the next couple of months for our listeners, and should be enjoyable stuff. So thank you for joining me, Blake.
Yeah, thank you. And hopefully next week we'll have the bandwidth of Birmingham to get all three of us on at once. Tell Blago I said hi, okay?
I'll do it.
All right, thanks, Matt. 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 All right, thanks, Matt.
Okay, now we're joined by our good friend from warbloggle.com, the Bloggler. And actually, in between recording with our buddy Blake Ells and War Bloggle, we had some interesting news break, which multiple reports are now saying that Damian Craig is expected to accept a job at Auburn, something we had talked about before here on the podcast. We had sort of given up on it, said it didn't look like it was going to happen, and now it appears he is going to be the wide receivers coach, possibly having some other responsibilities as well within the staff yet to be determined. But I guess Bloggle, let's get your quick reaction to this because we didn't talk about it with Blake, but your assessment of this hire bringing in Damian Craig.
Well, I mean, it's huge. I hate to say this, but it's this staff's trooper. It's the young guy who's going to be able to recruit and bring in those big names. And that's kind of whenever it's been down to Auburn or Florida State in recruiting battles the last few years, it's been Trooper versus Damian Craig. So it's kind of big. We're get kind of I hate to say this for some reasons, but we're getting the same thing almost. We're going to get some guys just because he's there. It kind of shows me that this is probably it's got to be a money thing. I mean, he said no 2 weeks ago. You'd think if he's got the chance to come back to Auburn and make some decent money, then he would do it. So why would he all of a sudden switch now? It's got to be that they just offered him a lot more than what Florida State countered with 2 weeks ago. again, I'm excited. I've always had kind of weird feelings about him in the last five or 6 years, just because the rumors and the message board fodder was that he didn't like Auburn. He didn't have a great time at Auburn for whatever reason, and that's why he had never come back. Or the rumors that were that he wanted to come back, and a certain coach, I don't know, maybe Tuberville or somebody back then, didn't give him a chance or something like that. Because it was always strange that he had never really come back, never showed up to any games or anything like that. But yeah, I mean, this is a major positive, and it's a bit another big get for Malzahn.
Yeah, and by the way, you mentioned some of those battles between Trooper and Damian Craig. Craig won more than his fair share, really, of those battles. So this is a guy who, as good as Trooper Taylor was, and as good as Gene Chizik's staff was at recruiting, Damian Craig could potentially be an upgrade here. And we were actually just talking with Blake about the way that this staff, even though it hasn't even fully been assembled yet, has made such a quick impact. And I'm down here at the Under Armour game talking to some of these recruits. There's guys mentioning Auburn that I've never heard mention Auburn before. There's guys talking, and a lot of it has to do with sort of pre-existing relationships with a lot of these assistants who've come in, and they were all strong recruiters wherever they were. And some of that is now carrying over to the Auburn staff, and it's making things move a lot faster for Auburn on the recruiting trail than I think a lot of people expected.
Yeah, and I don't know if the Damian Craig thing, I had heard rumors that his name was possibly popping back up about a week ago, and I just kind of blew it off and didn't think. I figured, like I said, if he said no to his alma mater a week ago, what there was nothing else that was going to bring him in. Obviously, money and loyalty wasn't enough back a week ago or so. So I just thought it was never going to happen. But when I heard those rumors that it may pop up again, maybe those recruits that you're talking to and you're seeing down there, maybe they heard that and they knew it, and it's been known, in the back rooms that people knew it was going to happen, and they just now waited to do it. But yeah, I mean, every person that Malzahn has gotten, aside from maybe Rhett Lashley, who he's a great coach, he's a great up and coming coach, and we know what his role is on the staff. Every single person has been either very well respected by all his former players and all his former ex-coaches or ex-co-coaches or whatever. They're all getting high praise, and then on the other hand, they're also pretty much known as very good recruiters. That's the thing, kind of, that I'm ready to see. Chisholm. But really, as I try to think back to it, I'm trying to think real quick. None of those guys were just like, he's an excellent coach. Once he got, oh, besides Malzahn at the time, but he's a great coach, and all the players love him and everything. With this group, you're kind of hearing that from a lot, especially Coach Cheese and the guy we just got today from the San Diego Chargers, the special teams and running back coach. And obviously with Craig, it just seems like they may be more of well-rounded bunch. It might not just be a bunch of recruiters that can coach as well. It might be some awesome coaches and some awesome recruiters.
Bloggle, going off of that quickly, and you know, I want to ask you about something that I took blo I'm sorry, I took Blake's perspective on the other end of the state this week, regarding kind of the media coverage and whether he thought it was, you know, it was balanced in proportion to what we'd seen from Auburn in years past. From you though, you know, what I want to hear from you, Bloggle, is I just kind of want to hear some pure, unadulterated hate, basically. And I know, you know, we've talked about this a little bit on the podcast already. At least the regular members of this podcast believe there's nothing to be ashamed of in when it comes to rooting against Alabama to win these national championship games. And you know, you've been vocal about that out there on Twitter. But when you look at this game, what, you know, whether you're, you know, whether you're trying to break it down as a guy that loves the game of football, or whether you just can't get past it as a fan, what do you see happening on Monday night in the national championship game? Do you have enough hope in your heart to really make you feel like Notre Dame could win this game?
No, I mean, I just think back to some of those games that Notre Dame barely won, you know, barely won against Pitt, didn't do that great against Purdue, and those teams are pretty much jokes. Yes, they're in bowl games, but you know, they're 6-6, 7-6, whatever. I just feel like this was a perfect season, a perfect schedule for Notre Dame. You know, one of their biggest games of the year is always USC, and they ended up being not great. And I just feel like they're just kind of a paper undefeated team. And I don't see how. I mean, I think five or six teams in the SEC could easily beat them. And considering Alabama's the best, they're obviously going to beat them to me. I mean, as much as I hate to give any Alabama fan some sort of satisfaction, I just don't see it happening. I mean, I think this is probably the easiest national championship they would have played out of the last 3 or 4 years. And yeah, it just, I don't know. That if I can throw a little hate in there, let me do that real quick.
Do that.
That's the thing. Auburn's national championship year was against a very, very, very good Oregon team. We all agree with that. They were very good. You know, there are probably a few teams in the SEC that could have beat them too, but it was a very tough team. When Alabama has been in the national championship the last 3 out of the last 4 years,
You think they've had a lucky draw?
I think so. I mean, yes, Texas was a good team, and it was to no fault of Alabama, but when Colt McCoy goes out, it obviously changes everything. They're a completely, it's a lesser team. So they got, I mean, yes, I know it was what's his name that knocked him out, and Alabama did it, and they deserve credit for that. But it just kind of it took a little away from, you know, going against a really hard team for the entire game. And then they got lucky, yes, lucky, going in, getting to the rematch last year. And, you know, LSU beat them, and it was a tough game, but you know, the whole thing of it's hard to beat the same team twice, and you're
You can go back and listen to some of our podcasts from January of 2000, or whatever the earliest Auburn football podcast we did. If you want to hear more of Bloggle's opinion on the 2011 national championship.
Yes, we can do that. But and then even this year, yes, Alabama is obviously, I'm going to say, we'll just say top three. I won't say number one because they haven't won it yet. They're obviously top three team in the nation. But of course, just like last year, everybody that had to lose lost, and everybody keeps forgetting about old Ohio State out there. If Ohio State hadn't done tattoo junk, they would be in the national championship game. So it's like the years that Auburn has been undefeated, or been, you know, or one loss and was up in the top two for the last 3 decades, other than 2010, everything in the world happens to keep them out of the national championship. And then when Alabama's up there with one loss or whatever, everything happens to get them in the national championship. It's a very cruel world.
I love that. I love that soundbite, Bloggle. It is remarkable though, when you talk about that these two, you know, arch rivals, and they've both had so much success in the last couple of decades. And when it comes to that luck, because I think everybody would admit you need some luck to win a national championship. I mean, Auburn needed it in 2010 too. But when it comes to getting that extra bounce that you need to win a national championship, it does seem like Auburn had quite a few sort of improbable bad breaks, like things that the odds were against them even happening, and they still happened to keep Auburn out, and it happened the other way for Alabama a few times. And it's a really interesting little facet of the rivalry over the past couple of years. There's not many other rivalries you can point to where you can say that the two teams involved had that many legitimate chances of winning, of getting into the national championship games. If you really think about it, even Ohio State and Michigan and, you know, schools like that, they really haven't been in the hunt for the championship as many times in the last couple of decades as Alabama and Auburn both have.
Well, I know, and that's what Alabama fan, I don't know what to call them, the crazy Alabama fan, the Alabama fan that I don't like, that's what they forget. Yes, Auburn was terrible this year, but Alabama was not very good and pretty much terrible for almost a decade. And Auburn and Alabama fans kind of forget, those Alabama fans forget that. You know, you've had a great 4 or 5 years, but you went out and bought the best coach. You should have some good years. And that's I know we're kind of getting way off of topic here, but that's what I like about Auburn. That's what I like about this Malzahn hire. And that's deep down what I liked about the Chizik hire, that we don't go out there and buy the best. And that's what Mal Moore did. And every Alabama fan will admit that. And it was a desperate move, and because they were tired of losing. And so they threw as much money as they had out there towards him. And they've got a winning program now. But that's what I like about Auburn. We will do it with Gene Chizik and Cam Newton, and hopefully we'll do it with Malzahn. And some Auburn fans don't agree with me. Alabama fans will never agree with me on that and think it's, you know, just do what you got to do to win championships. But I'm glad you brought up luck earlier, a few minutes ago, because I saw that shirt that was, I'd rather be good than lucky.
Yeah, that's right. That was one of the T-shirts that Alabama fans have made for the championship.
Got to admit, like we just said a second ago, Alabama has been very lucky to get back into the national championship. Whether they deserved it, I mean, they were obviously one of the two best teams last year, that famous phrase. And this year, they're one of the two best teams. But with the way things work, the last 2 years, and even this year, they were very lucky with the circumstances of the whole nation in college football to get back in there. And so that's, I don't know. I know that was just a stupid fan shirt, but that always bothered me.
All right. Well, that was good stuff, Loggle. I think we've had enough hate for 1 week, and
that's good.
We'll see if you have any more that you can spew next week. It'll either be just sort of more of the same, or you'll have, we'll just let you open. If it goes the other way, we'll let you open the podcast with like just 5 minutes of you and Blake laughing, hugging each other.
That's what I was going to say. We could just have a laugh track for 30 minutes straight, and that would be the whole podcast.
Well, we'll see what happens. Obviously, everybody stay tuned to AL.com. We're going to be covering that game. We're also covering the Under Armour All-America game on Friday night. We're going to be covering the U.S. Army All-American game on Saturday. We've got people in both spots. There are Auburn commits at both games, quite a few of them actually. So you'll want to keep an eye on that coverage, and we'll try to get you some good interviews with some of those players as well. And obviously we've got our Auburn staff covering all of the latest developments with Gus Malzahn's staff as it continues to grow. So stay tuned to that stuff as well. Obviously, go visit our friends at warbloggle.com and at collegeandmagnolia.com as always. And Bloggle, thank you for joining me for the podcast.
All right. Thanks for having me.